a filthy habit. When you're burning up ozone like you're getting your dose on,
find a hybrid, get inside it, and kick that filthy habit.
Smell the octane.
Welcome back to Eco Talk. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg. Joining me in the San Francisco studios, Larry Fahn, a longtime friend of Eco Talk. He's also out of San Francisco. He's also the immediate past president of the Sierra Club, currently executive director of the As You Sow Foundation. Hopefully we'll have time to find out a bit more about their work. But he's on the show today to talk about a trip he just got back from. Sounds like a lot of fun. It was a trip called the Blue-Green Alliance. And I want to just ask you, Larry, what was that all about? And what did you find, especially in Ohio? Always a very important and interesting state.
Well, Betsy, thanks for having me. The Blue-Green Alliance was recently launched between the Sierra Club and the U.S. Steelworkers. And we started the program in Ohio because there's so much potential there to create new jobs when we start focusing in on clean energy technologies and renewable energy. And we barnstormed across the state of Ohio from Cincinnati to Cleveland, having town hall meetings, meetings with mayors. We got three more mayors to sign the fantastic Global Climate Protection Agreement, which was started by Greg Nickels in Seattle. Mm. And people in Ohio are starting to catch on. We had tremendous media and a really great response when people came out to learn more about how we can create jobs in Ohio by building on clean energy technologies.
I definitely want to hear more about the response you got because it is really encouraging. But just how does this alliance, this sort of creative partnership, really represent a break from the past? And how might we see this as a sign that the green revolution or evolution, whatever you want to call it, has finally arrived, that we're breaking the usual, you know, groups of, you know, environmentalists and going outside that to really include religious leaders and now union leaders?
Right. Well, there's been this longstanding myth that you either have a clean environment or a good, robust economy. And the labor unions have realized for a long time that that's not true. And the Sierra Club has been working with labor since the 60s and the 70s, starting out with issues like workplace safety and pollution controls in factories and smelters and power plants in the 60s and the 70s. We worked with the steelworkers on the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act. And, you know, workers need a clean workplace. They also want to see clean water and healthy forests, real healthy forests, clean streams and rivers for fishing and camping and other recreation. And environmentalists have always realized that we want to keep jobs here and have a healthy economy. There are a lot of collaborations, whether it be improved mass transit for getting to work or fair trade issues, which has unfortunately been causing a lot of jobs to be lost in places like Ohio.
Now, how important was the UAW pressure against improving CAFE standards, the one that was led by John Kerry, John McCain, back in 2002? I understand that there was a lot of lobbying by the UAW leadership, you know, against that, and that's one of the reasons it went down to defeat, even though it was 6 months after 9/11, and you would have thought that increasing the fuel efficiency of our cars would make a whole lot of sense. Was that a myth? Were they just blamed for that, or were they really somehow, you know, against that?
Well, we're trying to reach out to the UAW, and we've made a big step in this new green blue-green collaboration with the steelworkers, because the steelworkers have gotten it. And now, with what's happening in Detroit, we think the auto workers are going to be coming on board. I mean, we could have tripled the fuel efficiency of our cars and trucks 20 years ago, and we've done very little. And foreign competitors have taken off with hybrids, and the U.S. automakers are way behind. So we're hoping that that's going to change, and especially with this new push on global warming.
Okay, so tell us, what kind of response did you get, and what surprised you about the response?
Well, we had great turnout wherever we went. We had a lot of really good media. In fact, the business pages at both the Columbus Dispatch, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and the Cincinnati Inquirer all did stories about green jobs potentially helping the employment situation in Ohio. And there were a lot of steelworkers came out to these events, and a lot of regular members of the public came out. And then, of course, when Mayor Mallory, starting in Cincinnati, signed the Climate Protection Agreement, word started to get across Ohio that we're going to start making an impact in Ohio on greenhouse gas emissions, and that in turn can help spur jobs there.
Now, in the places where you visited, had the movie An Inconvenient Truth played there for the most part? Did you hear people talking about Al Gore's movie like we do here in the Bay Area, and how might that have really perhaps pushed some people thinking in a different direction, the direction we need to think, which is this is a human crisis and special interests need to go by the wayside?
Absolutely, Betsy. The movie was playing in most of the places that we went. Surprising, even in places like Akron and Dayton, Ohio.
Fabulous.
And where
it's needed.
That's right. It's still playing in a lot of smaller art house type theaters, and it has a long way to go to meet the box office of some of the bigger blockbusters. But the word's getting out, and with the story in Time magazine and other media attention, this story is really starting to come out, and it's also starting to become apparent that it's not just about environmental protection. There are solutions, and there's so much that can be done at the state and local level, especially since the federal government is doing virtually nothing about any of these issues.
Did you talk about the Apollo Alliance or just the concept of how we can create jobs and improve the lives of average Americans by really committing to renewable energy and really beginning that transition now?
That's exactly what the tour was about, and we went to some factories where they're building turbines, and we talked about the fact—
Wind turbines.
Wind and other kinds of equipment, solar energy materials, and we also talked about the ways that wind energy, for example, can help the farm economy. Outside of Dayton, there's a small farmer that's installed 4 very large wind turbines on his farm. And he's now less reliant on this year's crop to provide the income to keep his farm going. So wind energy has some huge potential, and we hope that a lot of companies will locate manufacturing facilities to build the parts for wind energy and other kinds of renewable technology.
Oh, pardon the expression, but I think part of what is fueling this new interest from new sectors, and none too soon, is a really sense of empowerment that cities and states can do what the federal government is just not doing and, in fact, need to. Did you get that sense that, hey, we're not as small and, you know, lack of power, you know, we're not as... We have some power. We have some potential, you know, even though we're just a city or we're just a community or we're just a state.
Absolutely. We learned from Mayor Jackson's office in
Cleveland.
Powerless,
that's what I was looking for.
Yeah,
go ahead, the heat's getting to me.
Mayor Jackson's office in Cleveland told us that city has already purchased 32 hybrid vehicles for its fleet, which is a small step in the right direction. In Seattle, where Mayor Nichols started this program, their greenhouse gas emissions, including CO2 and other greenhouse gas emissions, have been reduced by more than 60%. And there's so much that can be done at the local level, from bringing hybrid technology into the municipal fleet to retrofitting buildings to make them more efficient, to putting solar panels on public buildings like they've done here in San Francisco on the convention center and the jail. Major progress is being made at the levels of the cities and the states. And we're hoping to engage churches and synagogues and universities. At the University of Cincinnati, we had our first big press conference in Ohio at the new Rec Center at the University of Cincinnati, which is the first LEED certified green building in the Cincinnati area. It was a fabulous building that collects the rainwater for local gardens, and they're doing a lot there. And we're encouraging other municipalities and other governments to start using LEED certification when they have to retrofit old buildings or build new ones.
Did you see many Priuses in Cincinnati and Cleveland and, you know, places that are more conservative than San Francisco, where they're almost a dime a dozen around here?
There were a few, not as many as around here. In fact, when I was in Dayton, Ohio, a local Sierra Club leader there took me around in his Honda Insight, which is one of the more innovative hybrid designs, and that was quite a treat as well.
Mm. Got to ask you about some of the interviews you did on right-wing talk radio stations. I've been doing some of those. I offered my services to challenge some of these, you know, hosts who are so arrogant in their dismissal of global warming and refuse to see Al Gore's movie. And these are talk show hosts who, by definition, need to be informed. What did you find when you were doing this? Were you making some headway and maybe changing some minds, or were they just trying to push you under with their bluster?
Well, we did a lot of interviews, radio interviews on Air America and right-wing radio. Mike McConnell is one of the biggest listened-to right-wing hosts in the Midwest.
The Rush Limbaugh of the Midwest, it says.
Actually, Mike was, he did express some skepticism about global warming, but when he told him how these new clean technologies can help reduce taxes by lowering the utility bills for cities and states, he started to get it. And he was quite receptive. And Dave Foster, who's the new chair of the Blue-Green Alliance and was a regional director of the Steelworkers, joined me in the interview on the Mike McConnell show. And by the end of that show, I think we may have had a convert.
Well, I have to share a similar story. This week I was interviewed by a Christian radio station in Detroit, and one of the biggest ones, and the host, Bob Fuca, I believe his name was, I was on for about 30 minutes, you know, just started out, you know, saying all the usual things from quoting Michael Crichton's book to, you know, that this is not something that has been proven by any means, and there's 17,000 scientists and an Oregon website who have, you know, disproven that global warming is real, and he refuses to see the movie because why should he believe Al Gore? He's only one person. He's not a scientist. And after going on and reciting the same facts that you can almost predict they're going to bring up, I said, are you a parent by any chance? And he said, yeah. I said, how many kids do you have? He said, well, I just had a baby a few weeks ago. I said, and then that's your, he said, seventh child. I said, so, okay, you're a Christian. You're a man of religion. You're the father of seven, and you are refusing to see a movie that is merely an hour and a half that could change your view. If not, okay. But you know, I challenge you to see the movie before you continue to talk to thousands of listeners every day and put so much energy into putting down the possibility that this is real. And I wonder what you're so afraid of. So in the end, he agreed to see the movie. He told me to go to some websites to check out, you know, people who say that it's not real. We're not the cause of it. It's not a problem. I said, I'll do that when you see the movie, An Inconvenient Truth. So in the end, he backed down. He said, okay, I'll see it. And I said, great. Then I'd love to talk to you. And if you have any kind of conversion, since you are a man of religion, you can come on my show and talk about it. So I can't wait to see what happens with that. Changing minds one state at a time.
Right. And I think conservatives are being swayed by a whole a variety of different issues when it comes to renewable energy in terms of increasing our security, our homeland security, by being less reliant on foreign oil. And there are so many advantages to going to renewables.
Barry Bond, thank you so much. Past president of the Sierra Club and executive director of As You Sow. We'll be back.
If you're riding on E, you got that itch, you got to have it. Put the fossil fuels behind you and kick that filthy habit.
When you're burning up ozone like you're getting your dose on,
find a harbor, get inside it.